This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I hate to say it, but it's tax day, everyone, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I hope it's not tax day. I think it's supposed to be due tomorrow, Glenn. That's the good news. I think it's tomorrow.
Oh, really? Why?
I don't know. Chad told me it wasn't due till tomorrow because he was up like all night doing our taxes. We better double check that. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 16th, 2012, episode 381. And this episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, you're absolutely right. Tax day is not till April the 17th,
Woo!
And that is because it's normally due on the 15th, obviously, but that was a Sunday, and April 16th falls on Emancipation Day in the District of Columbia.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gave
exactly
me an extra
sure.
day.
What has that has to do with anything, but that's apparently what happened. Hey, you did
it's
a great
a
job on Friday. You and Daniel with the show on Friday. It was terrific.
Thank you. So you were able to at least listen back to it. Good. We didn't touch you too much. And it was, you know, aside from being called Jennifer by everybody, my mother
stuck in your craw a little bit. You could have just let that one slide and nobody would have noticed.
No. My mother, after the show, she sent me an email. She was like, "You did so great today, Jennifer."
Well, then there was a Jennifer guest, and I think the guests were confused.
Well, and when Jennifer, the producer, books everybody, and I can't take the phone calls ahead of time because I'm on the air, I just like, "Hello, welcome to the show." So, you know, when there's neither one of you guys, it was a little bit challenging, but we got through it, and just no worse for wear, really, except for being called Jennifer.
It was great. And I actually listened to it. I want to remind people you can listen on your smartphones. I listened to it. I was driving at the time, and I listened to it on horsesinthemorning.mobi, and you can go to horsesinthemorning.mobi, and there's a little play button there. You can listen to the show live or the recorded version streaming from your phone, and I plugged it into my stereo in the car, and it played great. It sounded good. It sounded like a real radio, Jamie, real radio.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I got off the air and I was like, well, you know, all my years of being on the radio were, you know, I was either a DJ or a traffic reporter or a news reporter. I always had like, you know, a specific amount of time I was supposed to talk and then stop talking. Well, with this one, I was like, I could totally be a real talk show host. I could sit down and just talk for like an hour and a half. Why not? You know, like Glenn Beck and them, they do it for 4 hours a day. I can do that. Then I'm like, I get done and I'm exhausted. I'm like, screw that. No way.
It is
I don't want to do that.
But you're on the entire time and you have to be thinking and concentrating and everything. And it's very hard. I find it very hard. Chris does it on her shows. I can't do a show by myself. I have to have a co-host there. It's just difficult to do, to talk to yourself like those guys do for 3 or 4 hours a day. Ugh.
I just realized that probably nobody cares what I have to say that much to listen
to
me for 4 hours.
I don't find myself that interesting.
Yeah, I know, right? But these guys, dude, those talk show hosts, they could listen to themselves and congratulate themselves. And they probably listen back to their 4 hours after they're done with their 4 hours because they like themselves so much.
There are not too many of our hosts for the Horse Radio Network, of all 8 of them or whatever it is now, there's not too many that actually listen back to their own shows. I can think of one of them that listens back sometimes to their own shows, but most of us don't.
No, not a chance. I don't want to hear me ever again. I say it, it's gone.
Hey, we got some news from the weekend and stuff I've got to tell you about. But first, Jennifer, what's coming up today?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we have weekend adventures in abundance, summer camp stories of an Olympic sort, and news headlines from all over the horse nation from Wiley, Leslie Wiley. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, Jamie, you're up first with your Daily Winnie today.
This is epic. Epic times we're in right now. And I'll tell you why. 10 days till Rolex. 17 days till badminton. And 19 days till the Kentucky Derby. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. I'm really excited. 10 days to Rolex, 17 days to badminton, 19 days to the Derby. I love it. It's awesome times. April is awesome. And beginning of May, and then at the end of May, I'm taking a two-week vacation from you, so life just couldn't get any better.
Oh, I forgot about that. I got to find some co-hosts. Because I really don't want to talk to myself for an hour and a half every day. So I got to find some co-hosts. I forgot about that.
You just yourself right there.
we're going to have some news on the coverage from Rolex here very shortly. You'll be able to watch it if you can't make it down there. You'll be able to watch it on TV in a number of places. We have some of the details about that as well as when our shows are going to be going out and things. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I have a Daily Winnie first. It's kind of special. Okay, my daily. By the way, am I breaking up because my sound just went south?
You sound good to me.
Okay, because I'm hearing everything bad. My Daily Winnie goes out to 4 foot, 10 inch, 15 year old Mighty Maddie. They call her. Her name is Madison Walrath, and she was responsible for doing some amazing things the end of last week. She saved 25 horses from a stable fire. 25 horses.
Wow.
She is 4 foot 10. She's 15 years old, and she is one brave little girl. And I have a little sound here from MSNBC who interviewed her because she's a star.
Reunited today with her horse, Red, Madison Walrath breathes easy. Aside from a little soot on Red's hindquarters, he's healthy, he's happy, he's running with other surviving horses because of his owner. In fact, 25 horses are alive today because of Madison, who pulled them out of last night's raging barn fire at M&R Overlook Farms.
I started off by just putting their halters on and pulling them out by twos, but then the fire started getting quicker, so I just started wrapping their ropes around their neck and just tying them around my arms and pulling them out. There's stalls on each side of the pathway, and they're both in flames, and I just ran through them and got them. But there was horses trapped in the center in the arena, and the smoke was down to like about maybe 3 feet off the ground, and I was crawling through.
Through all that, and with terrified horses jumping on top of one another and her, 4 foot 10, 86-pound Madison went into the building over and over until the ceiling began falling down.
I got kicked in the shoulder by one of the horses in there, and I got knocked down a few times, but my adrenaline was, like, so high at the time that it didn't really, like, faze me. And
this despite her stepfather's pleas not to go in.
He says, you can't go in. And she says, I'm going in. I'm going to help them horses.
Sadly, at least 16 horses didn't make it. Three more on the loose, despite rescue efforts with helicopters and thermal imaging. The search for the three was called off this morning in hopes the horses are alive and returned.
We know they're out in the woods. We just don't know where.
And Mighty Maddie, as her grandmother calls her, wishes she could have done a little more.
And I just feel bad that they were some of the horses I couldn't get.
Well, Jamie, that I had to call back in on my phone because I did lose my internet connection here. I'm rebooting, hoping that'll fix it. But how about little Mighty Maddie? She was saving those horses left and right. I think now I've lost Jamie, so it looks like
Jamie's gone.
I know.
This is payback for the other day when you weren't here.
I know, and I just said that I thought that Blog Talk had her sound so good last week that I was doomed. See, that's why I should have never said that this morning. But anyway, she was there, you know, crawling around, tying horses to her arms, getting kicked and run over, and she still managed to save. She's this little tiny thing in the video. She's itty-bitty. 4'10" is not very big.
That's tiny.
Okay, I'm back. So I was going to say something really poetic and amazing, but I forgot. So I'm just going to say that that girl is, it's one of those things where if you're faced with that situation, what do you do? You know, what would you do? We would all like to think that we would run into the fire and save horses. And you know, I would like to say that I would, but you just never know. And it also makes me think her stepdad was sitting outside the fire and letting her run in by herself and get these horses. Is that what I understood?
That's kind of what the impression I got from that audio. I don't know the exact details, but that is kind of the impression you get from the audio, isn't it?
Well, kudos to her. She's definitely a hero. 25 horses are alive because of her. So just an amazing story. An amazing story.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try switching back to my microphone. Let's see how this works out and see if we can get through this. Jamie, I don't know why we're jinxed here today, but hold on.
It's Monday. That's why. Let's see. Glenn, are you there? Oh, there you are.
Okay, good. So back to the microphone here. Yeah, so that's my Winnie is Little for Little Mighty Maddie. I think Jennifer should try and get her on the line. I think we should try and get her on an interview.
Definitely. And I want to ask her why her stepdad didn't go in there and help her. I'm like, dude, were you just standing there or what? I want to talk to the stepdad. Like, because what it sounds like, you're the big wuss standing outside while you let some 15-year-old run into the fire.
I don't know.
That shouldn't be my impression. She's a hero. That's what I should focus on.
Well, let's. Speaking of heroes, you posted a picture the other day on your Facebook page, which you've probably forgotten already. But I'll tell you what, I'll take the snake that lives on our front porch, the black racer snake that we see almost every day that apparently lives in something on our front porch, over what you took a picture of and posted on your Facebook page the other day.
Yeah, I don't know. Can I maybe I'll email that to Jennifer and she can post it on our Facebook page because, I didn't realize that everybody would freak out as much as they freaked out because of this whole thing.
No, you don't
have
to post it on our Facebook page. We really don't.
Oh,
well,
then I'm definitely.
What we're not posting.
So I just happened to be, I went to my coaches, Barb Crabo, who lives up in Northeast Scottsdale. And as I was driving out with the horse trailer, she lives down this dirt road, a couple miles down this dirt road. And as I was driving out, you know, it's not like there's like bushes. There's no trees when you're in the desert. And so I'm driving out and I see this huge tree branch up, laying across the road. So I'm coming up on it. And I swerve to the right to kind of miss it. Poor Jet's in the horse trailer. And I swerve to the right and I stop as I realize the tree branch is moving. And it is a ginormous rattlesnake, huge rattlesnake.
What I want to know is, were you standing in front of him or were you in the truck when you took that picture?
Dude, there ain't no way I was standing on the ground.
I was
up in my truck.
My God, she's brave, because I don't think I saw anything of the truck in the picture. It was just the snake, and I was going, wow, she stood in front of that snake and took that picture. Give her kudos.
It was directly outside my window. And you know what's funny is that just to take that picture, I rolled down my window, and he was just sitting there staring at me. And, like, you know, the little tongue flicking in and out. And I'm up in my truck, and I roll down my window to take the picture. And as I have my arm sticking out the window just barely enough to, like, take a picture of the snake. And as I do that, I realize, what if this sucker can jump? Like, do they jump? Because if they jump up here in my car window, I'm dead. I mean, I'm dead. Just dead. But I just took the picture, and I drove on. And everybody was kind of mad that I didn't run over it. And I just thought, you know, live and let live. Like, it was just kind of, I mean, we're in the middle of the desert. There's nothing around. It's 2 miles down the road to Barb's. And, yeah, there's some houses around there. But, you know, he was just kind of crossing the road. So I didn't bother him. But then I realized that I've killed, it was brought to my attention that I have murdered a lot of gophers. So they're like, you can kill gophers, but you can't kill a rattlesnake? Like, no. I didn't want to run over it. It'd come and get me in my sleep.
No, I agree. And you know what? One of those things that happens, though, it's one of those things that when it happens, you're not thinking, you're just reacting. So, you know, you're not thinking about, should I run over it? First, you were thinking, get a picture for the show. By the way, boy, oh boy, I got, what dedication you have there. I just have to give you a round of applause for that.
For getting the picture?
Yes, for getting a picture, thinking about the show, getting a picture, thinking about your Facebook friends who are going to post that and gross them all out. That was your first thought, get the picture. It wasn't running the boy over. It was, I got to keep him alive so I can take a picture.
I know. And lots of people were like, it looks like you're awful close. I'm like, no, I was in my truck. There's no way I'd be standing there so calmly. Oh, let me get a picture of the nice little rattlesnake. No. So, Jennifer, I just emailed you the picture. So now just to gross Glenn out a little more, you can go ahead and post it on our Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
The first rattlesnake of the season.
As I said, I'll take our little black snake on our front porch over your rattlesnake any day. Well, we had a great weekend. Jennifer got to do some, the horse got here, middle of last week, and she got to do some serious riding with some of the people in the neighborhood here, which is why we moved here, so that Jennifer could do some serious trail riding, and she definitely got to. She rode for 2 hours yesterday through the neighborhood and the trails and everything. It was, she had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
my brother and
I'm gonna double up on my seat cover.
Yeah, you're gonna need a bench seat pretty soon.
Awesome. Hey,
I asked her yesterday what hurt worse, her legs or her butt, and I think it was your butt yesterday that hurt the worst.
Yeah, my butt.
Just because you were riding for so much time, or what?
Yeah, because we walked the whole time. Everybody's just showing me around the neighborhood because a lot of the trails, about 80% of them, are in, I can't say the woods here because they're really not woods. They're jungle. So when you're riding around, you really have to learn where you're going because you can't, like, turn left at the palm tree because it all looks the same. So we were walking the whole time trying to kind of learn my way around the trails a little bit. And so, and Beaker has a walk with a lot of enthusiasm. And monkey butt powder. They need monkey butt powder.
Yeah. Good stuff.
For softer saddle. So, and then yesterday we got to go to the beach. We went out to the Gulf. We went down to Crystal River and went to the beach for a couple hours yesterday. That was fun. And boy, the Gulf has no waves at all. Not up there anyway. It just is. It's just like a big lake. And you know what I remember from going to the Gulf when I was a kid, and I think we went further south and it was the middle of summer, is that the Gulf water was like warm. It was like bath water. now this time of year,
is like a hoof and foot thing. It's not the game of golf. It's the Gulf.
Still can't speak. So it's the Gulf.
It's me. It's not the game of golf. It's the Gulf. Go ahead.
So anyway, it wasn't quite that warm on yesterday. It was about 75 degrees, but it was fun. We had a good time going down there, stopped at this little diner. Jennifer and I just love diners. And I don't know if we're the exception or whatever, but we love these. This one was called, what was it called, Jennifer? Mama something. Mama Sally.
Mama Sally's.
Mama Sally's Diner. It was just picture what you'd picture Mama Sally's to be, and it had the kind of food you would picture Mama Sally's to have. And we were not disappointed. Oh, I just
what
had this.
What was it? Like, is it barbecue or is it like
No, it's diner food. It's like pot roast and pork and... You know, it is diner food with the gravy that, I swear, there's this outlet on the internet somewhere that sells that good diner gravy. That thick, doesn't have lumps and stuff. There's somewhere that sells that stuff, and I want to find out where it is, and it'll probably kill you in 10 minutes, but it is so good.
It's called processed food. Yeah. Called crap is what it's called.
No, it's good. Good diner food. Anyway, so we had a good time there. I went to my brother for my birthday coming up, took me to the races. We got back to our redneck roots, and we went to Bubba's Speedway down here in Ocala and got to see some dirt racing, some stock car dirt racing, which was a lot of fun. That was a good time on Friday night. That got me, that brought back memories of my redneck days. Bubba apparently is, and I, have you ever heard of Bubba? He's apparently, it was a big radio personality and is now on satellite radio and has his own radio show.
Is this Bubba the Love Sponge?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but apparently this Bubba has a radio show, and he's been on forever, and he also was an amateur race car driver, and he kept crashing and stuff, so I think they were threatening not to let him race anymore, so he bought the racetrack. And now he races every time. He was actually gotten better. He was pretty good. He came in like third or fourth the other night, but yeah, so Bubba's Raceway, that's where we were. And it was, by the way, just like the diner, it was everything you would picture Bubba's Raceway to be.
You know, Glenn, you're really, really going to have to embrace your inner redneck, because you are mired right now in the greasiest drippings, if you will, of the redneck lifestyle, being that close to the Gulf of Mexico, where you have Panama City and Destin Beach and all the places that, you know, everybody and their brother that is redneck goes for spring break. I mean, you are in the heart of they call it the Redneck Riviera, is the Gulf of Mexico.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty impressive. So just keep that in mind, because, you know, if you start wearing airbrushed T-shirts with Jennifer's picture on it, I am going to quit my job.
Well, guess what's coming up this weekend I want to go see?
Don't say the airbrushed T-shirt convention, because I'll quit.
No, the Monster Truck Rally is at Bubba's this weekend.
You're not going to have any shortage of redneck activities. I mean, if you keep yourself in Ocala, you'll be fine. Now, keep in mind that when I do talk about the fact that all the rednecks go to Panama City Beach for spring break and stuff.
Yeah, how did you know that, by the way?
Because I went to Panama City for spring break 1 year, okay? It is just trouble. It is trouble. So just keep that in mind. I can knock it, but I am from Georgia, so it's just part of it.
So the Ivy Leaguers go over to Fort Lauderdale on the Atlantic side, and the Redneckers all go to the Gulf.
Pretty much the Redneckers just go to Florida, anywhere, but the Gulf is really, really a popular destination. I think it's because they're not good swimmers, and the fact that there's no waves really keeps them in good shape. That's my theory.
That's funny. So that was our weekend. We had a great time. We had a good time. Did you went and took a lesson? How's that going?
It was awesome, and I would like you to know that my coach, Barb, has now decided that I will not be doing any more novice-level events. I'm moving up to training.
Wow. How does Jamie feel about that?
I'm a nervous wreck.
How does Jet feel about that?
Jet is fine with it. Maybe he'll stop, like, over-jumping when the expenses get higher. So we had a whole big awesome lesson. It was very difficult, and I'm going to get the DVD and try to post it, because it was the craziest jump course I've ever had to do. It was very difficult. I almost fell off once. I jumped a standard at one point. So it was a little bit crazy. I don't know why this inspired her to tell me that I was not going novice anymore, that I'm... clearly, it was not the moment of jumping the standard or almost falling off that really sealed the deal. So we're going to potentially, if I don't, like, you know, throw up or choke or something, we're going to move up to training level. And I think our next one is going to be in July at Coconino. And they're back-to-back. So I'm going to broadcast the whole week from Coconino, boss, by the way.
Cool.
That's what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be stuck there for a week. So, it should be exciting. Somewhere in July.
Okay, later on in the year.
Yeah.
By the way, just to clarify, I just got clarification. My brother is listening in this morning, who took me to the racetrack, and he says, yes, it is Bubba the Love Sponge.
Ah! There we go. By the way, he's not the cleanest of DJs now, so don't have your kids listen.
Now, did you work with him at one point? Bubba Love Song?
No. He's kind of famous in radio world because he's Bubba the Love Sponge. But I remember him being in Florida, and I remember driving through Florida and listening and going, this guy is called Bubba the Love Sponge? What an idiot. And then later on, I'm named Jamie Steele as I'm doing my traffic report. So. You just never know.
Hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to be at Rolex. We're going to be providing coverage from there. And we will be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The morning show will actually be on the weekend that weekend. And we will be coming to you live from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern, just like normal. We have a bunch of guests. We're going to be right there in the concourse where the vendors are, set up in the same spot we were last year. So those of you that saw where we set up last year, you can come visit us again this year. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then also, Chris is going to be doing the Eventing Radio Show. She will be coming to you live in the evenings from 4 to 5 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and kind of giving you the wrap-up and getting as many of the riders over there as she can. She had some really terrific lineups last year of riders that were there and had some great reporting at the end of each day. So we're going to be looking forward to that. Now, if you can't make it to Rolex and you want to watch some of it on TV, there's more coverage than there ever has been available to you. There's a 5 hours of television coverage from the NBC stations. The cross-country phase will be aired on Universal Sports, if you get that, and we'll post a link to the article here. You can also find it all at the Rolex 3-day page. And also, USEF Network will have extensive coverage Thursday through Sunday.
Did I drop or did Glenn drop? Well, let's see here. as far as the coverage goes, I don't know. I think we might have lost Jennifer, too. Doggone it. Well, this is just a pain in the butt. We're having some technical issues here on Horses in the Morning, and I'm trying to, find the notes here on my computer to let you guys know when exactly Rolex is going to be broadcasting. So, at any rate, we did post a picture of the snake on Facebook, and it seems to me that everybody else has panicked as much as as I was. Even the Reese Koppler Stanfield, our favorite dressage rider, posted that she's terrified of snakes and that everybody is like, nope, thanks. Everybody hopes I ran over it. I did not run over it. Thank you, Rhonda, for posting that. You guys can hear me. I somehow lost Jennifer and Glenn, so I'm taking over the world again. And I would like to know, Rhonda also posted that, and we're going to have to get you on, Rhonda, because she posted that she's going to see Oprah. Is that, she's going to see Oprah Winfrey, like the Oprah. So that's pretty awesome. I also would like to let you guys know, let's see, Susan says that rednecks also go to the beaches of Alabama and Mississippi. Yeah, that's kind of the whole area there in Southwest Florida. They all kind of connect. So they're in for some colorful fun down there. down there. This is frustrating. Let me see if I can get Glenn back here. Because my computer froze. So that means I'm probably about to drop out of here myself. Are you back, Glenn? Jennifer?
I can hear you, Jamie.
Oh, my gosh, you guys disappeared again. Here I am trying to talk about the snake and everything. So here, I've got a little bit of news for you. Yes.
One second. Glenn is talking furiously over there in his studio, and I can hear him. So I'm not exactly sure whether you and I are on the air or if Glenn is on the air.
We are, because the listeners have posted that they can hear me. So
they can't hear Glenn.
No, Glenn is off the air. So why don't you go?
He doesn't know that. Let me let Glenn know that nobody can hear him.
Okay, sounds good. Well, hey, just to let everybody, the listeners know that this is the this is the greatest time to actually tell you guys about this because Glenn can't hear it and can't play that stupid music of Kegasus. But just to let you know, Pimlico, on Preakness Day, Jennifer, they're going to try to do some Arabian horse races.
Really?
Yes, how cool is that? The Preakness Day card on May 19th, they're trying to get some Arabian horse races on the card. So we might get to see some horse racing Arabian style.
Cool.
Pretty
do they
cool.
have any more information about like when they're going to be in the race card?
No, they just that they're trying to add it, and they're trying to get it okayed. So we'll keep you up to date on that, because that would be kind of fun to watch some Arabian horse racing, and especially on such a big race day. You know, because everybody watches the Preakness because of whoever won the Derby. They're like, oh, we're going to have Triple Crown winner this year, even though we may not.
Well, I'm back, Jamie. I'm on the phone this time. I apparently got booted off. We're having a heck of a time here this morning.
Yes, I know. The listeners did say that they could hear me. So welcome back,
okay.
Glenn.
All right, good, because I was talking to myself, apparently.
And we did not do a Preakness story while you were gone, so you cannot play Kegasus, because we did not talk about the fact that Pimlico wants to add Arabian stakes races to the Preakness
oh,
Day.
Darn, I don't have it loaded.
I know. That's
only
why
I
included
know.
It. I don't think
did we get the commercial in, or did that not get in either?
It did not get in.
Okay, why don't we do the commercial, and then we'll try and get the guests in before they get cut off too.
Well, you're going to have to do the commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, we all care about what we feed our horses, but there's probably nobody that cares more than Omega Alpha. You know, they really do care about what goes into your ponies. That's why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. If you have a mare that becomes hard to handle or excessively moody as their cycle comes around, then consider Premare from Omega Alpha. Premare is a hormone balancer that helps with irritability and all of those symptoms that are associated with monthly hormonal surges. It's made with all natural ingredients to the highest standards. It's affordable, effective, and your mare and your sanity is definitely worth it. You know, a lot of these products, Jamie, that are for the mares that have the hormonal problems are very expensive, and that's not the case with Premare. So it's definitely worth giving this a try. You can find all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, let's go to our first guest here. We have three of them on the line here to talk about the Paralympics coming up and to get a little preview of the United States team and what they're up to. First, we're going to talk to the person who set all this up for me and a friend who I met a couple of years ago, and that's Mary Jordan. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Glenn. Thank you for having us on the show. This is great.
Well, we hope that our connection holds out here. We're having a little bit of trouble with Blog Talk Radio here this morning, but we'll hope that we get through it just fine. So now you are a paradressage rider, and you're working hard to qualify for the Olympics, and you have something going on that you wanted to tell us about.
Yes. Basically, Carlisle Academy Integrative Equine Therapy and Sport has partnered with USPEA, that's the United States Paraequestrian Association, to put together our first ever national para training camp with a focus on prepping riders at the grassroots and international level for riding in the upcoming U.S. selection trials for London, which will be held at Gladstone June 10th through the 13th. So
what a great place to go, by the way, for your selection trials. Is there a better place in the United States other than Gladstone to do that?
It's a really inspiring venue. It's steeped with history and tradition, and you know, many great horses and great riders and great coaches have all been there. So it's a really inspiring place, I think, that will give Team USA a great send-off.
Okay, cool. Well, now, we have on here Sarah from the Carlisle Center, right? From the Carlisle Academy.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Glenn. Thanks for having us on.
So tell us what's going to be happening up there. What's the plan for the week?
Well, we have a week-long training camp with several top-class clinicians who are coming in for 12 para-dressage riders who are coming in from all over the country, coming in from California, the Midwest, up and down the East Coast. So we're really excited to host everybody here in Maine. We have Hanneke Gerritsen coming in from Holland. She's a FEIO judge and Olympic technical delegate. We also have Jenny Susser, Dr. Jenny Susser, who's a PhD international clinical sports psychologist, helping our riders and doing our kickoff welcome dinner tonight. And we also have Dr. James Worson, who's sitting next to me here in my office right at Carlisle. And he's a neurosurgeon and a specialist in equine or equestrian medicine. We also have a host of our own folks here at Carlisle, occupational therapists, physical therapists, our own instructors and horse handlers who are going to be helping our riders all through the week get the most out of their camp experience. We kind of are treating it like a boot camp, so it's jam-packed with lectures and lunge lessons and great opportunities to be with our clinicians. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think campers are going to get a lot out of it.
So the goal is to really fine-tune. I mean, obviously, they're at the point where these are the top riders in the country. They're all trying to qualify for the Olympics. So the goal here is to really fine-tune what they've already developed with their horses at this point.
Yes, and there are some who are coming in who are developing para riders who are borrowing horses and learning the ins and outs of this emerging discipline. So it's
okay.
Really kind of both. We really have a nice mix of riders. We absolutely like Mary Jordan, who is a good friend of mine and has really opened the doors for us here in Maine to be able to do more with para-equestrians. She's one of our top riders in the country, and we have a few others who are coming that have been right out there in the competition and have, they've got their eye on selection trials in the Olympics for London.
And Mary, so what are you hoping to get out of this week?
Well, absolutely the fine-tuning. The past couple of years since the World Equestrian Games, obviously, we've been riding and training hard and working with a variety of coaches to kind of maximize performance so that we can, have some medal-winning rides. What is interesting is overseas, a lot of the foreign countries have different training camps where they bring in a lot of specialists and work with national teams. And we've really not had that specific opportunity to bring people together for para in this kind of format. So our hope is that we can continue to develop this and refine it so that we can start to really hone our performance, both ourselves physically as athletes and the horses themselves, and really develop something here that's powerful moving forward to help our riders get an edge internationally.
Well, I want to bring Hope Hand in here, who is the president of the United States Para Equestrian Association and a good friend who I've known over the years. And I want to find out, Hope, what does it look like this year for the Olympics? How's the U.S. team pairing up?
Well, Glenn, workshops like this and training camps like this finally bring the riders together because knowing that the United States is so large and we're so spread out, this gives us more opportunity to work together, which is so important that these riders get to know their teammates. And you really can't develop a team unless they start working together and they know each other's capabilities, which enhances their performances. And I think that's key to building a great team. And I think we have you know, the best shot ever this year. We have some really nice horses. We have some great riders, and we just have to, you know, get them together and more opportunities like this.
Now, Hope, you know, in the past years, and one of the, and it's no secret, one of the problems we've always had is getting horses that are at the level, I mean, the riders are at that level, but we've always had trouble on the United States team finding the horses that really can compete at that top level, the Olympic level. So you're saying that we have some horses this year that are showing some promise?
We have a few, and not enough, but we have a few. And, you know, it only takes a couple to, you know, get that winning combination. We're doing better, but we don't have the support like Europe has. It all comes down to financial concerns, because our riders have to support themselves and work, and where they don't have the luxury to just ride for medals. So it makes it quite difficult for us in the United States to really pull this all together. I think eventually the discipline has grown tremendously. The last go-around for Beijing, we had 5 slots and we only had 5 riders. So now we're looking at 4 slots and 25 riders going after.
Oh, wow.
There'll be 25 riders right now going to selection trials. So that is quite a difference. So we have such a rider pool now that we can consider, you know, trying to get more organized and get the funding that we need to run camps like this. We really, really need the opportunity to be together and train together, go to Europe together next year to really become top competitors.
Well, you know, and I know that Britain has been very good of recent years, and we have a lot of British listeners over there as well. So I know that there's going to be some serious competition again from Europe. Mary, that brings up a question for me that I know a lot of listeners probably wonder about. How do you support yourself? How do you feed yourself when you're training to go to the Olympics like this, an expensive sport like this?
It is definitely important to have very supportive sponsors and horse owners, and you really do need a team effort. You can't go it alone. I certainly am not independently wealthy to fund, you know, this Olympic dream. So I have several sponsors that have stepped forward. Team Copaxone and Teva Neurosciences is one of my top sponsors that, you know, partnered with me years ago before I was even doing para dressage. And, you know, there's just people that help you along the way. I've got a wonderful horse owner right now, DC Dennison, who has loaned me her fabulous horse, Sebastian. My other horses I've raised myself, so, you know, it's arguable if you actually save money raising your own prospects, but that's definitely been part of my experience. But, you know, it is necessary for me to work full-time. I do work full-time for Penfield Equine Technologies as a sales rep, so I travel a lot for my job. And I also do a lot of public speaking to raise MS awareness for multiple sclerosis, which is my physical disability. So people along the way have helped, and Carlisle Academy has helped, and Kentucky Equine Research, and you know, a lot of different people and places. And in reality, though, in this country, seeking sponsorship and fundraising is as much a part of the sport as actually riding. It would be a great luxury to just be able to ride and train.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's another full-time job to achieve the funding to go and do these things.
Yeah, and it's partly because we picked we picked one of the most expensive sports, but every sport's expensive in its own way. I mean, I don't care what you do.
you're still having to travel, you're still having to do all that. Now, you don't have that care of the horse, which is obviously the big burden. I want to go back to Sarah for a minute here before we wrap up and find out a little bit about Carlisle Academy up there. Now, you're in Maine, right?
We're in Lyman, Maine, southern Maine, next to Kennebunk area.
That's the warm part of Maine, southern Maine.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's my home state. I love to be in Maine. It's a great place to live and raise a family and be able to run businesses such as Carlisle.
Well, when you're not hosting the United States Paraequestrian Team, what's Carlisle Academy do?
Well, we're a full-service riding academy. We call it rehabilitative through recreational. 75% of what we do is therapeutic and adaptive programs. We've been running a therapy program now for 13 years, formerly under the name of EQuest Therapeutic Riding Center. And just recently, we made a transition and have opened up our offerings to recreational riding as well as training and leadership programs for the practitioners and clinicians in the field to be able to come and get the kind of education that's hard to get when you're wanting to learn more about, you know, how to be a therapeutic riding instructor, or how to get involved with para training if you're a trainer. So, for instance, on the heels of this camp, we're actually hosting a USPEA Train the Trainer program where about 10 different regional and local trainers are going to come in and learn how best to help their riders achieve their top goals. So we do quite a bit. It's a busy place, Monday through Friday. It's also where I live with my family, and it's kind of a little slice of heaven out here.
I was going to say, if you're near Kennebunkport, you're not too far from the ocean, and it is a beautiful part of Maine.
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Good luck to the Paris team this year. Good luck getting it together there, Hope. And we're rooting for you, Mary. You better make this team because we're rooting for you. You have no choice.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
They're a good group, Jamie. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see too much of it, but they are a terrific group. I loved working with them during World Equestrian Games, and just a big supporter of para teams.
Yeah, I know you are. It's fantastic. And just listening to these women, it's just so inspiring. So I hope they get the help and the funding they need. And I love the honesty, too, of like, yeah, I'm not independently wealthy. We need sponsors. We need money.
Exactly. So and they do. And you know, the other thing they need is those top quality horses. They can't afford to buy horses at $300,000. They just can't do it. Always been a struggle, is trying to find the horses that are good for their individual challenges, yet still finding the horses that are Grand Prix level, because that's what you need. They're riding Grand Prix tests at the Olympics. So you need the horse that can do that and be able to train up to that as well. So it's tough. It's a balance.
It really is. It's tough. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the commercial before we get to the song, Glenn, and then we're coming back with Leslie from horsenation.com. And there's a couple things she's going to talk about that I was looking at earlier, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is a really bad fall. So we'll get back to that in a minute. But if you're coming to the Kentucky Horse Park for Rolex or any other event, the best way to complete your Rolex experience is to stay at the nearby Clarion Hotel. This is only 4 miles from the park. If you were to do a Google search, they throw you all over the place. Downtown or whatever. That's a long drive to the horse park. So just 4 miles from the park at the Clarion Hotel, your Rolex experience is going to include a great room featuring a Tempur-Pedic memory foam bed, flat screen TV, and in the morning, a free full hot breakfast. A Clarion is a full-service hotel with easy access off I-75 at exit 115 with plenty of parking for your truck and your trailer. The Clarion Hotel is pet-friendly. You can bring along your kids. Did I drop again?
Nope.
Am I still here?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
y'all need to quit calling each other because I keep hearing it. So the Clarion Hotel is pet friendly, and who does not like to take their pet out to Rolex on cross country? Glenn, how many dogs on average do we see on cross country day at the horse park?
At least 50,000.
I mean, it's impressive. If you want to just go dog watch, it's like screw people watching. The dog watching at Rolex is so fascinating. But best of all, you don't have to leave the hotel to enjoy fantastic Kentucky-style food and drink. Cortland Southern Kitchen, Glenn Gravy, Reed Gravy. Cortland Southern Kitchen offers innovative Southern fare and a casual atmosphere. Or you can relax at the Sports Page Bourbon Bar and Grill, where you can give the bourbon sampler a try. Read Trouble.
Cattle be
it's
doing
a great
that.
Way. Yeah, exactly. My husband. So I'll take the bourbon sampler. Sir, you've already had four. I'm just sampling it. It's a great way for you and your friends to discover which Kentucky spirit is your favorite repeatedly over and over again. So if you're coming to Rolex, they have a special rate of $109 still available for Horse Radio Network listeners. So that's 877-451-7600. Yeah, I booked Clarion before, before the deal came out for Horse Radio Network, and I was paying $149. So this is a really big savings. So $109 a night for the Horse Radio Network listeners, 877-451-7623.
Well, the song today is dedicated to Mighty Maddie, who we talked about earlier in the show, and this is Born to Run by Templeton Thompson, and I thought, you know, Mighty Maddie was running. And she was running with the flames burning and the smoke and everything. This girl was born to run.
Well, I never did crawl and I never did toe the line. No man is master than me, I ain't that kind. I just put on traveling shoes. If you want to win, you just can't lose the time or stay behind. Well, I was born to run, to get ahead of the rest. And all that I wanted was to be the best, to feel free and be someone. I was born to be fast, I was born to run. We'll be right back.
that was right, born
Glenn.
To run. And you there?
I'm just checking on you here. So you're back on the phone again. You guys, so when you went off the air earlier, amazingly, my computer froze at the exact same time. So that was fun.
Oh, great.
So we're having a great day. Well, you guys are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. That's omegaalpha.ca, right? That's their website. So check them out at omegaalpha.ca, and you can find horse products, human products, dog products, whatever you need. They've got it.
Well, I wanted to – we had a post from Ellen who said, please say again where the Carlisle Center is and its spelling so we can give that again. Well, you can find their website is eQuest, E-Q-U-E-S-T, Maine.org. eQuest, the state of Maine.org, so eQuestMaine.org. And it's Carlisle, C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E, Academy. You'll find it up there. So thank you for asking, Ellen. Appreciate it. And then we've had a whole bunch of people talking about whether we're on the air or off the air. So we appreciate their input there. And Susan Nelson would like to correct you, Janie, and she says rednecks also go to the beaches of Alabama and Mississippi. So apparently that's not just exclusively Florida.
No, but it's all in the same kind of general bend in Florida. They all kind of come together. So it's like the perfect redneck trifecta of Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi. It's fantastic.
Funny. All right. We are going to next. I wanted to mention our Horse Radio Network show highlight is Equestrian Legends show that came out yesterday. It was episode number 20, brought to you by Pacella Saddles. And it was show jumper David Broom. He was a show jumping icon and a prolific winner on many different horses from the 60s through the 90s. He rode in 4 Olympic Games and was twice European champion in 67 and 69 and won 4 world championship medals. So you can find that over at horseradionetwork.com. Just look for Equestrian Legends episode number 20.
Hey, Glenn.
Yes.
Do we have a minute before? Is Leslie? Oh, Leslie's here. Leslie, I've got to ask her. She's got to put this on horsenation.com because this is the best ever dressage test listing of all time. First of all, we'll say good morning to Leslie. Hey, girl.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, aside from having minor technical difficulties, we are here, so that's good. Have you seen the amazing new dressage test that there's going to be for eventing now? And even dressage, just whatever.
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, my gosh. It's called the amazing new dressage test. And this dressage test was sent to me and also Anne posted it on our Facebook page. And I'm gonna go ahead and read this test to you as tests go. And as an eventer, you'll appreciate this. And I think this is going to be the dressage test that takes, you know, dressage by storm, especially for us eventers. I'd like to, you know, A, enter at ordinary serpentine. X, sprawl, salute. C, stop dead, stare in horror at judge, and shy to the left. Continue at ordinary working gallop. At E, stagger left 20 or 15 or 22 meters in diameter circle or pear shape or five-pointed star. Avoid excessive crossing of legs. K, start to halt. Z, keep trying. F, you can do it. B, pull reins, give up, continue at hand gallop. H, regain right stirrup, continue at trot bouncing. M, change rein. K, free walk on loose reins. T, remove horse from judge's car, ask judge for leg up, and jump back into ring. At Z, turn down center line, halt, scratch, burst into tears, leave arena at free walk on long reins, watch your language.
So, oh my God,
perfect dressage test.
I can feel some pins coming down my pike. Yeah, I already have that memorized. I think I've written that test before.
Yeah, who hasn't? Who hasn't?
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you during a dressage test?
I was riding this, it was, yeah, I don't even have to think about this. It was, Florida, Florida. Ocala Horse Trials. No, it was Rocking Horse Horse Trials in Florida. And I was riding this mare at our first event, and she was wild. I mean, she went on to be fantastic. She went on to be a rider prelim, and she was a super cross-country horse, but the dressage was, oh. And we somehow made it through the test. And at the end of the test, I saluted the judge, and the judge actually stood up and saluted me back and said, I can't believe you didn't fall off.
That's always good when the judge says that.
Yeah,
you know what your scores are going to be at that. You don't even need to look at the sheet at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Leslie, have you ever actually had one jump out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. As recently as, and it's always when you're having, like, the best test of your life, too, and then your horse just, like, slides out of A and the bell rings. And yeah. Oh, my
actually,
gosh.
Actually, they used to do the canter transitions back before these new tests. You would have to pick up the canter as you were heading into the corner, like, between F and A. And you go to pick up your Leslie Kinner, and you're heading into the corner away from the judge, like towards the exit. I was on this horse named Polo, and I remember picking up a canter, and we picked up one canter stride, doo-doop, and then bing, straight out over the rail, which was chain. Of course, like he didn't even come close to hitting it, jumps out, and they ring the bell. You know, basically that means elimination. But the judge calls me over, and I go up again. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. She's like, well, obviously you're eliminated, but we are going to let you go ahead and finish the entire competition because clearly your horse likes to jump, and that is all you have left to do. So, you know, it's always exciting, and you know, I've done dressage tests in a hailstorm up at Flagstaff. Like, dressage, it can never be boring. And people say it's boring, but if you're riding it, it's not ever boring.
Oh, no, they're just watching the wrong riders, you and me.
Definitely. Well, we wanted to talk, you were talking a little bit about the moment, speaking of these kind of moments, the shoot moments, or, you know, you guys spell it a little different on your website, but we don't want to say that. So tell us, who is this poor girl, and why did she sacrifice herself for your website?
Well, a while back, this is actually one of our longest running series, and it's called, the G-rated version, Oh Shoot, Your Most Humiliating Moments Captured on Film. And basically, readers send us photos or video of themselves, falling off in creative and sometimes horrific ways. And with sort of the story of what happened, and they're always okay, but then we give them some words of encouragement and play them a little song, kind of like Delilah. You know, do you know the show Delilah? People call in and tell Delilah their problems, and then she's like, "This one goes out to you," and plays, like, you know, some.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay. So the series has been just a smash hit with the readers, and I think it's great because, falling off we're not in any sense making fun of the people that send us their pictures. In fact, we're applauding them because they're not victims of their oh, shoot moments. They are owning it. They are, reclaiming it. And so we definitely salute these folks.
Yes, I did love the fact that one person, because, obviously it's a blog and you can make comments underneath it, that one person was like, oh, you obviously you're very tense and you didn't have a tight lower leg. And, and they're critiquing this poor girl. And it's like, hey,
I guess you're perfect all the time, and you've never fallen off. And she goes on to say she's riding a 5-year-old in his first cross-country schooling. Hell yeah, somebody be 10.
All right. All right.
You try to stay on this monster on cross country, so I did think that was quite entertaining. And then everybody else started ripping that girl for like commenting like
right.
that. So, that,
right.
so that was, I like it. Now, tell us about the second thing that you sent me is the intervention. And yes, what you emailed me is definitely true. I could jump that. I could jump that. I could jump that. Like, I remember I was telling my husband that I used to have this really, really crappy Acura Legend when I lived up north because there was so much snow and then, you know, your car rusts because there's so much salt on the road and crap that gets in the winter. And I bought this rusty old Acura Legend. And it was small, but it was a car. And I remember thinking, I could jump that. And I got called on it by the people at the farm that I was working at, and they were like, you can't jump that. Well, clearly, that is a challenge. And so I pulled my car out onto the cross-country course and took my mare. Her name was Black Beauty, by the way. And I jumped the hood of my Acura Legend. And you would think, what about, you're going to damage your car. No, this car was so trashed already that actually somebody gave it to me for $100. So the fact that if I dinged it a little bit, it was going to be okay. But, yeah, I could jump
right.
that, and I did. And so it is a problem, Leslie.
I knew it. I knew that this would resonate with you. I just had a feeling.
Do you guys know how many times I got in trouble for trying to cut up logs or trees that had fallen down on the farm?
Oh, they jumped.
Oh, yeah. You think you're just doing the people a favor, and they're like, oh, no, we're going to jump that.
Yeah, exactly. Or I clean up what I saw was garbage around the farm, and she's like, that was a jump. Barrels, old rusty barrels, and, you know, just things that were wooden at one time, and you're not quite sure what they were that are just laying out in the middle of the field. I'm like, I'm this good horse husband. I'm brand new. I'm going out there with a tractor, and I'm going to clean that up. Boy, did I get in trouble. Man.
It doesn't matter what
yeah.
it is. If it is somehow touching the ground, laying upside down maybe, it doesn't matter what it is. We're going to jump it.
That's right.
Exactly.
So what else have people posted that they jump, Leslie?
Well, one person wrote in that she has a problem when she is very tempted to jump. You know those big red balls that are outside Target, like in the Target parking lot? I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? But
yeah.
But she has this sort of fantasy of, like, jumping. She has a phobia of upright stadium jumping verticals. But her problem was she's like, I would rather jump one of these Target balls in the Target parking lot than an actual upright vertical. And we had some suggestions for sort of working through that. And also definitely some words of caution about schooling skinnies in the Target parking lot. Probably not a great idea. And then our latest column last week was a woman that she'd been just like eyeing this picnic table outside her barn for months and really just, she just thought it'd be fantastic for jumping. And in that case, we you know, sort of gave her the encouragement I think she was looking for to drag that picnic table into her ring and actually jump it. And she did, and she sent us a picture of her jumping the picnic table, and it was great. So, you know, I think it could go with some, you know, there's some random objects that you just have to draw the line and be like, you know, I get where you're coming from, but I don't think that's probably not a good idea to jump that. But others, you know, you just got to go for it.
Do you know what you're going to have to do, Jamie? You know, we talked about
first thing in the show is that rattlesnake, those rattlesnakes you have out there the size of logs. You're just going to have to get a picture of you jumping one of the rattlesnakes.
Whoa.
Oh, hell no. Trust me, if there's a rattlesnake, my horse is going to jump whether I like it or not. They are right. Pretty well trained to do that. And it is definitely scary when you're trail riding and you go by a bush that starts shaking. Because of the rattling. So, I did, Leslie. I was leading
right.
My coaches, and I saw a big, giant rattlesnake. So it's on our horses in the morning Facebook page. Yeah. Living
scary.
In the desert. Nobody's supposed to live here, Leslie Wiley. This place is awful. There's no water. There's things that kill you. There's black widows, rattlesnakes, scorpions everywhere. And it gets like 117 degrees. Can you tell me why the hell people thought this was a good place to live? I don't know, but unfortunately we're stuck here because they put Air Force bases in the middle of nowhere, and so that's why we're here. But not supposed to be. But I did love the fact that on your website you challenged this lady to jump the picnic table. You're like, yeah, go for it. And what does she do, Glenn? Just like me, jump in the car. She drags the picnic table into her indoor arena and takes pictures of her jumping it. Right, way to go. Way to go, Rachel.
Hey, Leslie, I got to tell you something else that was on Horse Nation. Did you really send those pictograms to the FEI?
I tried to upload them, and for some reason, I'm not very computer savvy, obviously, by the pictograms themselves. You can see that.
Hey, let me explain. There's an article on Horse Nation. Apparently, the FEI is looking for new pictograms. Why? I don't know. I've only seen them at the WEG for the first time. And they're the little tiny logos for the different sports. And I guess they were asking for submissions, and you guys submitted some beautiful stick drawings. by the way, those horses are that you put in your pictograms are verging on founder. I mean, they are so fast. Just saying. I don't know why they didn't accept
your pictograms. I should draw them more like ovals and less like circles. Is that what you're saying? I don't know. More rectangular.
I love the one that says, I need to work on my horse's butt. Yep, I love that. I'm sure they really like that one. You're going to be getting a lot of love from the FEI here, I think.
Right, yeah, I think we're on their most wanted list already.
Well, there's a lot of great stuff at Horse Nation. Just you can find it all at thehorsenation.com. Jade, was there any others that caught your fancy this week?
I'm sorry, I'm staring at the pictograms, and I love the fact that these are supposed to represent the FEI, and they've got a picture of a girl with a horse, and obviously you drew this, and it says, so what you're saying is I can give my horse methobutapropin mixed with cadoxyserpine, but not cadoxyserpine mixed with methobutapropin, and you've got the FEI sick vet. He's like, yes, that is correct. It's exactly right. The rules are so hard to follow. I'm sorry that you didn't make it. These are so great.
Well, it's the FBI's loss, really.
Yeah. It really is.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I do have some funny stuff
this.
On there.
I love this website. It is so funny. It is just so funny. Perfect to kill time with. So, yes, Glenn, Pimlico wants to add Arabian horse racing to the Preakness Stakes Day, and they're going to vote on it tomorrow to see if it's going to make it.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I think that, Pegasus kind of looks like an Arabian in some ways.
We're not talking about Pegasus.
Oh.
We're talking about Arabian horse racing on the Preakness Stakes Pimlico Racetrack program.
Well, so. You're darn lucky I don't have the Kegasus song prepared because I would just be playing it right now, but I don't, so I'm kind of stuck
this
on
is,
that. But we can talk about the Bluegrass Stakes. And there's something that happened over the weekend caused a little controversy here in Lexington.
Major, major controversy. This thing actually made it to, like NBC, CNN, all those major news organizations loved this story. And it goes back to Hanson. Do you want me to take it? You want me to tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this past weekend was the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, Lexington. And, oh, my gosh, this was huge. They had over 40,000 people, Glenn, that went to Keeneland on Saturday to go watch the Bluegrass Stakes. And the three-year-old colt, who is one of the top Derby contenders, named Hanson, who won the Breeders' Cup last year, he was slated to run in the Bluegrass Stakes. Well, Dr. Kendall Hanson is the owner of the horse, and I believe he's a Kentucky boy. Well, he went ahead and dyed Hanson's tail blue. Bluegrass
Hanson is a pretty much practically white horse. He's a gray, but, you know, he's gray all over.
He's interesting because he's steel gray, and he's only three. He's not dapple gray, he's not flea, but he is just almost a white. So they dyed his tail completely blue, and he says he was going to keep trying to keep it a secret, but he let an NBC crew through, and then word got out because NBC saw it. Well, he was then called to the race steward, where he was basically told, you better wash that out or you're out of here. He was willing to pay a fine, apparently, if he was fined for dyeing his tail, horse's tail blue, but he was not okay with being kicked out of the race. So they call him in, and they're like, we heard that you dyed Hanson's tail blue. Is that correct? And he's like, yeah, it's awesome. I love it. And they're like, yeah, if you don't have that undone by race time, then you're going to be disqualified. So clearly, he ran down there. I mean, can you imagine what ensued right after that? Get his tail white! I don't care what it takes. First of all, what did they dye his tail blue with? And how could they wash it out that fast? I mean, isn't that kind of surprising?
That's kind of surprising. Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they made him wash it out. Because, you know, you could have blue tails and pink tails and purple tails, and the jockeys would it would drive the jockeys crazy.
Oh, I can see the fact that they might not want to do it. I mean, obviously, if people can find a way to cheat, they will. And, somebody's going to put, oh, I'm going to dye his tail blue, but it's going to be some stinging agent that's going to kick in as he's running, and it's going to make him run faster. I mean, they would find something to do. So I do completely agree with the whole, I do not dye your horse's tail blue. So although it was a good idea, and the intentions were honorable because he just wanted to represent Kentucky and the bluegrass and UK. He was not allowed to do it, and is apparently then got in a fight with his trainer because he was going to try to dye it blue again, and it was just crazy. And the trainer was like, just stop. Go away. I'm trying to prepare your horse for the race. So
the one article I saw said that actually called it tailgate.
Oh, that's funny. So Hanson, with the white tail to carry on about the race, they go to the starting gate, take off. Now, Hanson is a front runner. That means he loves to go from wire to wire. He doesn't like dirt in his face. He doesn't like to get his little white
tail. Wait, before you give it away, do you want to hear the race? I have it here.
Oh, you have it. That's right. Fun. Do it.
Yep. And they're off. In the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes, Hanson broke alertly, so did Gung Ho toward the inside, heavy breathing right there, politically correct away, up close to the pace, Midnight Crooner going to press the issue on the far outside as the field heads into the first turn. It is Hanson who moves forward and clears the traffic and now gets over toward the rail. Hanson will set the pace, leads it by a length and a half as they move on the turn. Politically correct goes second just outside of Gung Ho in third position. Hero of Order is four wide in fourth, Midnight Crooner fifth, How Great sixth, Scatman a wide seventh off the turn, heavy breathing, shuffled back to eighth, Prospective is ninth, Ever So Lucky travels outward from the rail in 10th, Doulahan 11th off the first turn and up the back stretch, Holy Candy next to last, Russian Greek 13th and last, 23 seconds to time for the opening quarter, and Hanson is the leader. Champion Hanson on top by a length and a half, midpoint of the back stretch. Hero of Order travels in second, three parts of a length. Midnight Crooner, forwardly placed third up on the far outside. Gung Ho is fourth down toward the rail. Here's How Great, trying to thread the needle, moving through some traffic into fifth, within five lengths of the lead. Heavy breathing, then Scatman, who's a wide seventh. Prospective is eighth. Politically correct drops back in ninth. Doulahan is tenth. He's down toward the inside, 10 lengths off the lead. They're midway on the turn. Here comes Gung Ho, trying to draw alongside of Hanson. Just over a quarter mile to go. Hanson has the advantage by a lengths off the far turn. Gung Ho second by three. Midnight Crooner is third. Hero of Order has lost ground around the turn. Heavy Breathing moves up the inside to fourth. Hanson a two-length lead as they come toward the eighth pole. Gung Ho still trying, but still second. Perspective getting shook loose late. So is Doolahan. Doolahan down the center of the racetrack. Hanson in the final furlong. Doolahan charging on the outside. Doolahan, tremendous stretch run. He was 10th with three furlongs to go, and Doolahan and Kansas Ormo have won the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes in 1:47.45.
So
that
just
came from nowhere, Jamie. I mean, he flew down the stretch.
That is absolutely amazing. And you know what's amazing is, like, he, because he won that race, now is fourth in the graded earnings to be in the Kentucky Derby. So the top, the way the Kentucky Derby works is that, you know, your earnings, the top 20 horses that have the most graded stakes earnings get qualified to go to the Kentucky Derby, from what I understand. So you've got Hanson as actually first with $1.5 million worth of earnings. Daddy Longlegs is second. Union Rags third. Doolahan has now jumped up to fourth after winning the Bluegrass Stakes, and he is now has $855,000 worth of earnings. You've got Creative Cause, an Irish horse named Rote. Gemologist, my pick, is sitting at number seven. Sabercat is eight. Take Charge Indy 9, Secret Circle 10, 11 is Bodemeister, 12, I'll Have Another,
He just won the Arkansas Derby, actually, Bodemeister, which is what put him up that high.
Yeah, exactly, and Secret Circle came in second for the Arkansas Derby, and that threw him up there as well. Sabercat was third, so that's why they're all up there. So we've still got some stuff to go as far as preps, but Daddy Knows Best is 13, Liaison 14, Alpha 15, Prospective 16, Trinneberg 17, Done Talking 18, Drill 19, and Win the Day Well is number 20. Now, the name that you don't hear in there, Glenn?
Yep.
Does anything stand out that you don't hear in there?
Let me think. I'll Have Another.
Your pick, Heavy Breathing, did not make it in the top 20. I don't see him anywhere on the list, so Heavy Breathing is not a potential for
the
Derby.
I'll Have Another either.
Yes,
I'll
did.
Have Another followed by Heavy Breathing. That would be a good setback stretch.
Actually, number 12 is I'll Have Another because he won the Santa Anita Derby. So he's in there. He is.
Woohoo! Followed by Heavy Breathing down the back stretch. Heavy Breathing catching up to I'll Have Another. It could be good, but I'll Have Another Heavy Breathing.
But unfortunately, Heavy Breathing did not. If heavy Breathing is sitting at number 55. So unless
none of the good
something
ones
amazing
make it. You
happens,
know that? It's none of the good ones make it.
Oh, you poor thing. You poor thing. So,
how are us guys who vote by name going to do it with that lineup, except for I'll Have Another? The rest of them are just pretty bored.
But how much did that stand out when you were hearing the call of the race? All I could hear was Heavy Breathing.
Heavy Breathing.
Heavy Breathing. Heavy Breathing coming in number seven.
There's an owner with a sense of humor. That's for sure. All right, let's see. What else do we have in the news that we need to talk about?
Finish your Rolex coverage because you got cut off when you were telling us how, if you're not at Rolex, how exactly you can watch.
So you didn't
watch.
Hear that? Okay, good. No. So the TV coverage, we'll just review again for those that didn't get it, was NBC is going to be covering it with a number of hours of coverage. Cross Country will be aired on Universal Sports, if you get that, and on the NBC Sports Network from 1:30 to 3:30 on April the 28th. And the most extensive coverage, if you want to watch all of it on and see everything, you can catch everything Thursday through Sunday on the USEF Network. That's the United States Equestrian Federation Network. That's on your computer, on your tablet, on your iPad, on your smartphone. Any of those things, you can watch it, and it's usefnetwork.com. They also have Google TV users. If you have Google TV, you can actually get it on USCF.net/Google TV for apparently a better picture and all that kind of stuff. I don't know anybody has Google TV, to be honest with you. And then if you're overseas, you can watch it on FEI TV. So the FEI TV is going to have it for those that live overseas as well. So there's lots, probably the most coverage that's ever been done. You can, of course, catch our show 9 to 10:30 Thursday through Sunday at horsesinthemorning.com. And Chris will be doing the Eventing Radio Show from 4 to 5 each day with a wrap-up with the interviews and everything and a wrap-up of each day as it goes along. So that's all the different coverage that you can find of Rolex.
I'm looking here. I'm Googling right now to see if Rolex has an iPhone app, much like I don't think they do.
I didn't hear about any. I don't think they do either, actually.
Well, Badminton has an iPhone app, so, or at least an app. I think
well,
it's
you saw
cell phone.
A lot of people last year, I don't know if you noticed this, in the stands at show jumping and the stands at dressage, I saw a number of people with their smartphones or their iPhones with their earbuds in. They were actually watching the USCF coverage on their smartphones and listening to the commentary.
Oh.
So that was something that some of them were doing just so they could hear that commentary, which was a good idea, I thought, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's like when you go to a baseball game and there's always these old guys that are sitting there with their or a football game with their headphones on, like with their radio headphones. You remember those? Like they have big giant headphones, they have an antenna sticking out of them. Well, those things are not dead because every time I go to a baseball game, there's some guy sitting in the crowd with one of these big headphones with an antenna on the top that's listening to the game while he's watching it to get the commentary.
Well, and the same thing, of course, in NASCAR racing. Everybody's wearing headphones because they're tuned into the channel of their drivers and they listen to their drivers talking to the team and the pit crew. So everybody does that goes to NASCAR. Everybody has their driver they listen to. But we're not going to have that ability to listen to our riders as they're swearing their way around the cross-country course. We don't have that ability, but I'm looking here, and it looks like 69 of them have the entry list is at 69 riders. That's a big field.
It is a huge field, and they just listed the numbers. So kind of get an idea of where everybody's going to ride. I think – you know, you've got number one this year is going to be Boyd Martin, and he's going to be on Yin Yang Yo. And then you've got Bruce Davidson, two, Andrew Nicholson. They're going to have to move these around a little bit because Andrew Nicholson is number three and four, and that would be tough to ride.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to ride back-to-back. So I'm assuming that they're going to have these guys moving around a little bit. But I think they do the numbers with a draw. But I'd like to say that number 56, whoop, whoop, Barb Crabo and Ever Ready. She's in. She's going.
Cool. I'll be rooting for her, and I know you will be.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm looking at some of the others on the list here, and I'm trying to see how many are from overseas. Quite a few, actually. We have Canada. We have the United States. We have Great Britain. We have New Zealand. We have bunch here from Great Britain, obviously.
How about Andrew Nicholson rolling up with four? I see he has at least four horses in this thing. Good Lord.
Who's that?
Andrew Nicholson. Yeah.
Yeah, he's obviously trying to qualify some for the Olympics as well. Karen O'Connor's back with Mr. Medicott this year. Good to see her riding.
And she's on a new mare, too, this mare's been around for a while, but she it's a newer ride for her on a mare named Veronica and has a lot of potential with that mare, so that'll be fun to watch as well.
And one that's always in the top 10 and does very well and it's fun to watch is Allison Springer on Arthur. She'll be back. And then there's William Fox Pitt. How many did he end up with over here?
That's a good question. I know he's only got, 25 horses that are qualified, so.
I see one. Yeah, all those horses, I thought he'd be bringing a bunch of them, but it looks like he has one over here.
Well, if you want the whole entry list, all you have to do is go to the Rolex webpage, and it's rk3de.org. Rolex Kentucky 3-Day Event. It's still a hard website. rk3de.org.
and check out the entire list there and what numbers, so you can kind of figure out who's going to be doing dressage on Thursday and who's going to be doing on Friday. So we shall see. This will be fun.
All right, sounds terrific. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you again tomorrow morning here at Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Everybody have a great day. Stay neuter and geld.